Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and run over to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. We're looking at a familiar passage of Scripture here today. And we're going to look at it a little bit different than what we normally would have as we go through here. And hopefully get some encouragement here today, amen. We certainly could use a lot more of that. But at the same time, we also could use a lot more actually going out and using that encouragement, amen. So Luke chapter number 8. I want to begin reading verse number 4. We'll read down through verse 8. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." As we said, we're going to look at this parable here just a little bit different today. Quite often, as we go through here, you know, we break it down exactly as Jesus is talking about here. And I'm not trying to twist Scripture at all. I just want to look at it, how we can possibly go about trying to counter what is took place here in the parable. So we can get greater results than what we're getting by not doing nothing. Because there's a lot of not doing nothing going on in our churches today. Saw real quickly, and we'll get to praying and all this, but I saw real quickly that this fella, he posted about how live streaming, you know, it is not a good substitute for going to church. And it's like sitting in front of a fireplace that you've got there on the screen of your television. You can see it, but you're not getting any of the positive effect from it. And that's certainly true. We are not gathering together. We ain't getting it all. But at the same time, something's better than nothing. The problem is that too many folks, and there was one guy who responded to him, says, "Hey, I live stream several services throughout the course of the day." Hey, great for you. But you end up missing out on some important stuff by not getting to church. Because when you get to church and you start paying attention in church, you start taking that out of the church then and start applying it and going out there and telling people about Jesus and not just leaving it up to they'll find their way into church. It's the pastor's job for them to get into church, all this other stuff. But we actually start doing what Jesus said right there at the very end, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." We're going to start seeing greater fruit from our effort. Why? Because we're actually putting forth some effort. And as we're looking here at this parable, we see a lot of pitiful effort that's being done. Sower goes out and he ain't paying attention where he's throwing the seed. He's just throwing it. Okay? And yeah, we need to just hand out those tracts indiscriminately. Well, we need to indiscriminately go up and tell someone about Jesus. Okay, I'm not arguing that whatsoever. But the fact of the matter is, each one of these things that happen here, there's a little bit of a counter form to try to overcome the lack of results that took place. And I want to look at this morning what is needed. Just like those live streams, they're nice. And I tell you here right now, every Sunday with Garage Baptist, this is just supplemental material. This is not a substitute for church. If you're able to be in church, go to church today. Okay, you need to go to church today, and then you need to take what you heard there in church and go out and use it to better serve Jesus. Okay, we need to do this. But in the meantime, we're starting at 5 a.m., this few hours before church starts. Great way to get your day going. You watch this after church, great day, great way to keep your day going. During the course of the week, great way to keep you going to the next service. But we need to actually do something with what we've got. So we want to look here this morning at what is needed. Okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for being good to us, for loving us, for saving us. I want to ask you, Father, real quick for Gracie and that drainage tube of hers that it's getting harder and harder to keep it clear. Pray, Father, that you'd help us with this, be able to keep that thing flowing till the 16th when we can finally get it changed out. Pray, Father, for healing for our bodies. We certainly have a lot of issues going on. We ask you, Father, for healing for that as well. Pray, Father, for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ that we will get going out there on the firing line, that we will walk closer with Jesus and serve you the way that you'd have for us to do. Help us, Lord, please, to stop all the infighting and to get out there and start fighting the good fight. And we can see souls saved and lives changed. Thank you, God, for loving us and saving us. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. So, as we said, we're titling the sermon here, What is Needed? And this world certainly has a great need about it. And it's up to us Christians, let's be honest here. It's up to us to get out there and take care of that need. They need something to get them going where they come to their senses and realize, I need to go to church. I specifically, most importantly, I need to get saved. Just seeing a church house sitting there ain't gonna do it. Just knowing that there's a thing called a Bible, that they've got one collecting dust on their shelf, ain't gonna do it. That they see people gathering to go to church, ain't gonna do it. They need interaction from us who are saved. Problem is, so many of us, we are so flippant about our Christian lives that we're not meeting their need. We are making zero effort to help them. But they need it. James talks about, hey, if someone comes up to you and they have a need, and they got this physical need, and you aren't bothering to do anything, you just tell them, say, be warm to be filled, go that way. You haven't done nothing for them. Now let me put this in our modern way, Christian. They got a need for Jesus, and we just say, hey, church is the place to be. And we've left it at that. Y'all need Jesus, and we leave it at that. Let me share a nice little cute little meme on Facebook, and we leave it at that. We've done nothing for them. Our flippant attitudes aren't going to get anything done for the cause of Christ. I want to show you here these counters that are so needed here in this passage of Scripture that are needed in our very lives to go out there and witness to a lost and dying world. Look with me here in verse number 5. A sower. Okay, that's us. We're the ones going out there bearing precious seed. We're supposed to be passing out this precious seed so we can doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Okay? Y'all know the song. Y'all know the psalm. If you don't go out and spread that seed, you are not going to have anything to rejoice about. So, a sower went out to sow his seed. The seed is the gospel. We're going to break this thing down. We're going to get down here where the rubber meets the road. Okay? And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Those two words, trodden down, means to be rejected. Okay? And the world as a whole is going to reject the gospel. I am not going to argue that one bit with you. I ain't going to argue that with anybody. The world as a whole rejects the gospel. Okay? That's their choice. We have free will. Our choice is to say, I'm still going to try to give you the gospel. You reject it, you reject it. Heard about the story about this fellow. He spent years witnessing to this one guy. Day in, day out, tell him he needs to be saved. And the guy would cuss him out, tell him where to go. He don't want to hear it, get lost. And finally, one day, that fellow, he came up to the guy. Jesus loves you. And he's got tears streaming down his face. And the guy says, leave me alone. I'm tired of hearing it. Stop crying like a baby. And the man says, but I'm going to still pray for you. And as he walked away after years of having done this, that man he'd been witnessing to, something got a hold of him because of the tears flowing. Because he said, he kept it so simple. He didn't try arguing with him. Didn't try proving him where he was wrong or right or anything else at this point. He just, the tears were flowing. And so he went to that man's house there, had been witnessing to him, knocked on the doors, guy opened it. What do you want? I told you, I'm going to leave you alone. You don't want me no more. I'll leave you alone. And the man says, but I need to hear the gospel. Why do you need to hear it now? I've been praying for you for years. I've been witnessing to you for years. I finally threw in the towel. I gave up. I just told you I'll keep praying for you. And the man says, your tears spoke volumes to me because your tears told me you were genuine. You see, what is needed for those who are going to trample the gospel underfoot is a willing solicitor. Solicitor is like a salesman. On average, for a good salesman to be able to get an account, it takes 80 visits. 80. This is not something that typically you walk into a place, hey, I've got this that I'm trying to push on you, and the guy says, I'll take it. It's day in and day out, going back and forth, negotiating prices, talking about all the positive points of what you got, downing all the negative points of your competition. 80 visits to make a successful sales pitch. That's the average. Now, yeah, you're going to have times when you're going to walk in there and right off the bat, make the sale. We're going to have times when we go knock on someone's door and right off the bat, they accept Jesus. Of course, though, that also doesn't say that, Holy Spirit hadn't already been working on them. That someone else hadn't already been witnessing to them. That you weren't just happened to be the 80th visit to them. God needs willing solicitors who will go out there and understand that they're going to be rejected, that they're going to be made fun of, that they're going to be mocked, they're going to be told where they can go, what they can do with themselves on the way there. But they still go anyways. You see, us going to church is not just about us going to church. The fellowship, the camaraderie is great. The encouragement, wonderful. But what are we doing about it? Or do we do anything with it? Or do we just close our Bibles at the end of the service, tuck them under our arms, head out to the car, throw it there on the seat next to us, bring it into the house, throw it on the coffee table, and that's it till next time. We're not trying to sell anything to anybody. But we are making a sales pitch for heaven. For the Christian. This earth, this life, is the worst hell we are ever going to experience, those who are saved. But those who are lost, this is the best heaven they will ever experience. And that's up to us to get this through to them. We need to be willing solicitors for the cause of Christ. There's no plan B. Angels are not going to start appearing, telling someone they need to get saved. There is no, well, they, when that moment comes, they're just going to automatically be saved because they were predestined and none of us have any choice. None of that nonsense is going to exist or happen. It's up to you and me to be witnesses for Him unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what else is needed? Some watchmen or scarecrows. The last of verses, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And we need, and maybe say watchmen or scarecrows is a misnomer here. We need watchmen who are better than scarecrows. You say, why is that? Because scarecrows just stand there. It's supposed to look like a person standing there. And this will spook away the birds. How many times do we see that scarecrow with the arms stuck out there like this and birds lined up on the arms, birds on the top of the head? Because they ain't afraid. They know it's an inanimate object. Saw one cartoon one time, two birds sitting in a tree, and the one bird says, man, I'd love to have some corn, but I can't go down there. There's a person there in the field. And the other bird looks at him and says, that's no person. First one says, how do you know that's not a person? And the second one says, because there's no phone in its hand. Yeah. You see, at least the phone, there might be some movement. It might be real. Satan's not afraid of that church sitting there on the corner. Satan's not afraid of the average Christian because he knows the average Christian is going to walk in those doors, do what they got to do in there, walk back out of the doors, maybe go to the restaurant, maybe go home, and that's it until the next appointed time. Satan knows that there are no watchmen in most churches today. We're just going through the motions. We're a bunch of scarecrows. So it's watchmen, not scarecrows. See, the watchman is always on duty. The watchman is always walking about there, protecting. The enemy knows where the watchman is because he sees the movement. He sees them standing there at attention. He sees where they are at. That they're alive. But so many of our churches have grown cold. Nearly dead. Jesus told the Laodicean church, y'all are lukewarm. You ain't cold, you ain't hot. You're lukewarm. You're room temperature. Can't do nothing with you. Nice cold drink's refreshing. A nice hot shower's refreshing. Lukewarm, good night. Let me get out of there and get going. Ooh, lukewarm water. That tastes nasty. That's why you see me here in the wintertime. And I take a little sip of my water there. You know when it's become good water. Because I take a little bit longer drink. But in the summertime, this thing is lukewarm. And is like, ooh, a sip real quick just to get the back of my throat wet and put that thing away. It's lukewarm. Ugh. What can I say? But if we get on fire for God, we walk out of those church doors there and we're still praising God. We walk out of those church doors there and we start handing out some tracts. We walk out of those church doors there, and we start letting the world know there is a God in heaven. He's still on the throne, and he still saves. We could start seeing some results. At the very least, we'll get their blood off of our hands because we'll have told them about a Savior. They may not like it. I'm not worried about if they'll like it or not. I'm worried about their souls. Notice with me what else is needed besides a willing solicitor, a watchman, not a scarecrow. Verse number 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. We need some weather or shade to come along. It says it lacked moisture. That means there needs to be some water coming down. It's withering away. You read the parallel passage there in Matthew. It talked about how the sun beat down upon it and it withered away. So it could have used some shade to protect it. Some nurturing, in other words, church, needs to get done. We need to get out there and present the gospel. We need to encourage those who've just gotten saved in the Word of God. I've seen so many people come forward and they make a profession of faith there, but no one takes them aside. No one tries to disciple them. No one tries to encourage them in the Lord. No one tries to give them fellowship with Jesus. Congratulations, you got relationship. Figure out how to get fellowship your own self. And they walk away. Why? Again, no efforts made on our part. So that seed has got to be nurtured even after it starts to grow. The number of times I've tried to grow corn here in my backyard. Finally, not this past year, but the year before, because I didn't do it all this year. I let the soil rest. But last year, I just went ahead and I put chicken wire up all real good all around it. Had to protect those little corn stalks from getting destroyed by the local squirrels and raccoons and possums. I did that. Yes, I planted all these seeds. I marked specifically in the ground where those seeds were there so I would know what's a weed coming up and I could pull that versus the corn stalk coming up. Man, this is great. But I got lazy. So you got lazy, preacher? Yep. You see, I don't eat corn. I'm growing for my little girl who likes corn. And because of that, I'm not invested in it. I planted it, so when I think about it, I go out and I water it. The problem with this attitude, that I'm not going out there and watering it, I'm not going out there and de-weeding like I need to, it allows the corn stalk to wither away and die. To never produce. We need the weather. We need the rain to nourish the plants. Yesterday here in Hammond, Indiana, we had a whole bad windstorm come through. Worry about the, items being blown all around, roofs getting taken off and all this. I mean, that wind was strong at times. But you know what one of the impacts about wind is on a plant? Because it's moving everything up here above the ground, it threatens to uproot the plant. So God has designed the plant in such a way when that wind starts coming and blowing, it starts sending the roots down even deeper to get a hold of more soil to hold it in place so it doesn't get rooted, uprooted. We need the weather. We need the darkness to allow for a time of refreshing. Otherwise, all that light will burn us up, okay? So we need the shade. We need to work more with those new Christians to help them to grow to have fellowship. We need to work with those who have come and paid a visit to our church. who are lost. Hey, they came, we did our part. No, we started our part by having the doors open. Continuing to do our part would be us actually calling them. Hey, hope to see you again. Inviting them back. Stopping by their house. Continuing to work with them. Continuing to show them their need to get saved. All of this nurturing here will allow the gospel message that has been given them to take root and to grow in their lives so that they can be saved. But too often, we just don't do anything else. We've thrown the seed out there and it's up to God now. Where do you see that? I've yet to plant a crop that I didn't have to take care of. I mean, even my rose bushes out there. I planted for in honor of my wife's very first Mother's Day. She found out she was pregnant, planted a rose bush. She's pregnant. I mean, she's a mama. Plant some rose bushes. I have not let them go wild. As I want to keep seeing roses grow on there. So I've got to trim them back. I may not trim them as often as I should have, and that's a failing on my part. We got to trim them, got to water them, got to de-weed around them, got to fertilize them. It's built on a little bit of a terrace there, so I got to protect them more from the wintertime. So I put the styrofoam cones over on top of them to protect them some. Effort, in other words, has to be made. If we're going to see some results, we're going to need to bring a little bit of weather and shade into their lives. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. What's needed? Some weed whackers and shears. Yeah. You got to get out there and you got to de-weed. You got to help the people to understand this is Bible. This is solid biblical doctrine here. This is what the world has to say. This is Eastern mysticism. This is Confucianism. This is what this group says. This is what this group says. But none of that's the Bible. You want to grow and be strong in the Lord? You've got to have the Bible. I don't care what songs you sing. You ain't got Bible. You're playing games. You're shortchanging yourself. I don't care who you listen to. If they're not preaching from the Bible, you're shortchanging yourself. All these are types of weeds that need to get weed whacked. We spend more time listening to songs than we do the preaching. Get those shears out and start trimming that stuff away. We spend more time gossiping than we do praying. Get those shears out and start trimming that stuff away. Don't let this other stuff choke out what God have for us. Think of tomato bushes. Those things start growing, and you want tomatoes. Now, I don't eat tomatoes either, but I know what to do with them. Those things start growing, and they'll get a little branch. You know, branch goes this way, branch this way, and then they'll have this thing called a sucker start to come up right there in between those two branches. If you don't break that thing off before it gets to be an inch tall, that plant is just going to keep reproducing plant. You got to break that thing off early so as that the plant will realize, hey, I need to start growing tomatoes. There are things in our lives we need to get rid of early and often. Because even after that tomato plant starts producing tomatoes, it's still going to start trying to grow those suckers. You've got to deal with these things on a continual, everyday basis if you want to produce fruit. If you don't, these other things will choke you out. And you'll start paying more attention to what's on the television. Your job will become more important. The video games more important. You'll have more time for everything else and less time for God. till you find yourself one day, I'm just so hurt over how those people treated me at church, forget it. I can do church at home and just watch the videos. After all, I'm still getting the gospel. But you're breaking one of the very first things the Bible tells us. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but you've allowed church hurt to be a weed that grows up that needs to be pruned. Instead, you just let it go. So get some weed whackers, some shears out there. Deal with these issues before they become too big, too bad for you. But lastly, verse number 8. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. Praise God, this is good. And when he said these things, he cried. Now this is Jesus. Jesus says this. This is the part I want you to hear for this final point. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what's needed? Workers and servants. That's what's needed. Those who sit on the sideline, they are never going to see results for themselves. The vast majority of Christians today have literally never taken part in any ministry whatsoever. And of those who have, a lot of them are doing simply because of obligation. Simply because, well, I'm available, fine, I'll do it. They've got the wrong attitude. They're not actually hearing. They're not actually being doers. They're just going through the motions. There's no joy in their heart for it. Yeah, I'm doing it. Back off. Leave me alone. Preachers, stop being up there harping on needing help in this particular area. I'll do it just to shut you up. That ain't a solution. That's a band-aid. Get the right attitude. That's why it's not just workers, but also servants. Servants are what God wants. Workers out into the field. Servants who will serve Him His way. Servants who will open the door and show the lost how to come in and be saved. Servants who will see the result that God's wanting to bring forth. These are what is needed. Willing solicitors. Watchmen, not scarecrows. Weather and shade. Weed whackers and shears. Workers. Also servants. I want to ask you two questions today in closing. Number one, have you heard Him calling you to service? Number two, are you willing to do the service He's calling you to? And my question is this, Jesus is speaking to all of us to go forth. Whether or not we do that, it's up to us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for loving us, for saving us. Pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. We ask you, Father, please, to help us to go forward, to be the servants you'd have for us to be, to hand out these tracts, to tell someone about Jesus, so that we can doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Ask you, Father, for all the prayer requests have been made known in the unspoken, that you would take care of them as you see fit. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen.